Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today. I always look forward to these times. They are such a blessing for me, and I pray that they are for you as well. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible, but obviously more than anyone, I thank our Lord. He has created us. He has made salvation possible. He's brought us to that salvation. And that salvation is at its very essence a relationship with Him where He wants us to know Him. And He brings us to times such as this one for us to hear from Him, to grow in Him, to know Him. And since we're here to hear from Him, to meet with Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your grace. Father, for all that You've given to us and for Your desire for us to know You. Lord, I ask, O God, that You would open our minds and our hearts to Your word, and through that, O God, that we will hear Your voice. Lord, speak to us. Help us to hear. Help us to understand. Help us to comprehend. Help us, O God, to live out what You tell us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you're having a great day today. It's a pretty day here. It's a beautiful day. It's cloudy, which after all the hot days and rainless days that we've had, it's good to see clouds. It actually rained during the night. There's a good chance of rain coming this afternoon. We pray that that does develop, but it's good to see things wet and damp this morning, and again, cloudy and overcast. But you know, not just in terms of weather. I hope that you're having a great day and just in terms of your life and your circumstances, and I hope that you're making the most out of this day. You know, this day, like every day of our life, is in fact a wonderful treasure that we need to make the most of. You know, we read in Psalm 118, verse 24, that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You may recall that in Psalm 90, Moses was inspired to say in verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to You a heart of wisdom." The idea there, making the most of our time. This day is important. It is, in fact, a wonderful gift from God. It's a measure of our life. Our life is measured by days. And as we grow older, we realize how few of them there are and how quickly they pass. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we get the most out of this day? How do we get the most out of every day that God gives to us? Well, we see this in Psalm 39, which is probably not on your list of favorite psalms. It's kind of a heavy psalm, if you will. And yet it's one that's crucial for us, one that's critical, one that we need to read and to comprehend, to understand and to apply. And so look with me at Psalm 39. As we'll read through the psalm, it's only 13 verses, as we read through it to begin with to establish the context. It says, "For the choir director, for Jeduthun, it's a psalm of David." That's a superscription that God inspired David to write this. But look at the verses, beginning in verse 1. "I said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, 'Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, You have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in Your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath, Selah. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in You. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is You who have done it. Remove Your plague from me, because of the opposition of Your hand I am perishing. With reproofs You chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with You, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. So how do we make the most of this day? How do we make the most of every precious, wonderful day that God gives to us? Well, the first thing that we need to do is the fact that we need to deal with sin. Look again at verses 1 through 2. We read verses 1 through 2, it kind of strikes us as strange. I said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good. David's not going to say anything. Why? What's going on? Well, look at verses 8 through 11. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me because of the opposition of your hand I am perishing. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. David had committed some sin. We don't know what it is. I know obviously our first thought is always Bathsheba and Uriah, and it may have been. But we don't know, and in one sense, it's not our business to know. It's between God and David. But David had in fact committed some sin, and God has in fact been dealing with David about that sin. Again, Bathsheba and Uriah would certainly fit, but it could have been something else. And God has been chastening David, disciplining David. And David's been quiet before man. He knows it's from the Lord. He knows he's being disciplined for what he's done. And he does not want to dishonor God. He does not want to be a reproach toward God with those who are listening. And so David is just simply being quiet. And you see the condition of his heart. David is absolutely miserable because of his sin. We need to understand that sin destroys and steals our life. And if we're going to get the most out of life, we've got to deal with sin. First of all, obviously beginning in salvation. The fact that in and of ourselves, we're separated from God, cannot be right with Him. But God loves us so much, He sent His only begotten Son to live, die, and rise again to save us from our sins when we place our trust in Him. And to begin getting the most out of life, we've got to have, first of all, eternal life. We've got to enter into spiritual life. That only comes when we trust Christ as our Savior. And if you've never done that, I invite you right now just to stop and to trust Christ for your salvation, acknowledging your sin and your sinfulness, the hopelessness that you cannot save yourself. Nothing else can save you. Only the death, burial, and resurrection. Only Jesus Christ, because of who He is and what He's done, can save you. And trust Him. But then as believers, we need to know that in our Christian walk, no, we don't lose our salvation when we sin, but we do lose the fellowship, the closeness with the Lord. And it is that fellowship, that relationship, that closeness to Him that brings life, brings living into our life, that makes life worth living. And only when we deal with our sin can we truly experience the fullness and the richness that God wants us to have in life. We need to, as we see in 1 John 1:9, to confess our sins. That is to say the same thing about them that God does. Trusting again through the blood of Christ that we are forgiven and cleansed and restored into a right relationship with Him. Again, our salvation is not in question as believers, but our fellowship is. And so if we are going to truly make the most out of our lives, make the most out of every day, make the most out of today, we need to deal with sin. And again, if you've never trusted Christ for salvation, I invite you to trust Him now. If you're a believer and God reveals there's something in your heart or your life that needs to be dealt with, deal with it now before Him. Otherwise, you'll stay out of fellowship with Him and you'll not have the richness and the fullness. And at some point, God will begin to deal with you about that issue just as He has David here. We need to deal with the sin. But once we deal with the sin, then number two, we trust the Lord. Think about what we see in verse 7, then verses 12 and 13. Verse 7, and now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Look at verses 12 and 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. We trust in the Lord, in his grace toward our sin. And again, that's certainly the context here. And again, it shows us why dealing with our sin is in fact so very, very important. But also we put our trust in him just in life and in living. You think about what we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you may even have these memorized. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, meaning put your full weight and confidence in him. Do not lean on your own understanding. It doesn't mean that we turn off our brains, but we base our thinking upon what God has said about himself and his ways and his will. And we allow that to shape our thinking. All of our ways acknowledge him. That means we submit to obey him and follow him in all of our ways. And then he will, in fact, direct our paths. But you think about the foundation, that trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We need to base our life, our living upon trust in him. Yes, not obviously, yes, he'll work circumstances out. But also trusting him as we make decisions. God, what is pleasing unto you? How would you have me to handle this? What does your word say to do about this? Or any particular unique leading he has for us. You know, that old hymn, Trust and Obey, is not just a pretty song, not just an old song that stirs our feelings and our sentimental attachment to it. But there's a wonderful message there. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. There's no other way to have a life that is full and rich, but in fact to trust him. And so we need to trust the Lord. But then notice thirdly, we need to value our days. Look at verses 3 through 5. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you've made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Now, I know we read that and we think, that's a depressing thought. The problem is it's true, and only when we understand that do we really understand the importance of this day. That again, we have so few days. They're moving so very quickly. They are so very short, and we need to make the most of them. You know, we read over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. You probably, if you've read that in the King James, you know the phrasing there is redeeming the time. It's a great translation because it is in fact a word from the business world. The idea there is that of a businessman, a salesman, if you will, making the most of every opportunity. You think about very successful entrepreneurs. You think about very successful salesmen. Their mind is always working, and they can see an opportunity. No one else might look at the situation, not think anything about it, but they can clearly see an opportunity, and they automatically begin to think how to capitalize on that opportunity. They see the importance of that opportunity. Well, every day that God has given to us is in fact an opportunity, and we need to in fact make the most of it. We need to in fact value that time. We need to value our days. Again, like that businessman, like that entrepreneur, like that salesman, we need to look at every day as an opportunity and make the most of it. And as a result of doing that, we prioritize our efforts. Look at verse 6. Surely, every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. Again, talking about how transient our life is. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. When you think about that, what he's telling us there is think about what's really important. He's talking, begins the verse, talking about us being like a phantom. We walk about like a phantom. They make an uproar for nothing. All of our churning results in nothing. We amass things, collect things, and don't know who will get them. That ought to cause us to pause and think about what is truly important in our life. and invest our life in those things. Obviously, our relationship with God and the things that truly matter. How many individuals waste their life, waste their days on things that have no ultimate value? I remember one time hearing a pastor make the observation who, and like most pastors, spent a lot of time visiting individuals who were terminal, many times at the bedside of someone passing away. And as he looked back over his many years of ministry, he said, you know, I've never been in one of those situations where a dying man looked at me and said, I wish I had spent more time at the office. I wish I had skipped my son's Little League games. I wish I had skipped out all those school plays. I wish I had skipped out on family vacations and family picnics and family just days of just being together. He said, I've never heard one do that. He said, I can't tell you how many have told me, I wish I had really spent more time with my wife, my children, building our home, not just the house, but the home, on those things that truly, really matter. You know, I think about parents sometimes who invest so much time and effort for their children to be, quote, successful in terms of the world without really investing in the relationship with them and really the development of genuine, deep character. We need to think about what's important and to prioritize that. It's so easy for us in so many areas of life to walk about like a phantom, make an uproar for nothing, amass riches, and not know who will gather them. We need to prioritize our lives for what is truly important. This day and every day is a blessing, is in fact a treasure from God. And we need to make the most of it, walking with the Lord and living for Him and following Him and allowing Him to lead us in what's important. I don't know at what point of the day it is that you're watching this, but however much of this day you have left, it may be the whole day if you're watching in the morning, it may be just a little bit before you go to bed, but however much of this day that you have left, are you going to make the most of it? Or is it just going to be gone like a vapor for those things that don't matter? We need to make the most of our time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, for the wisdom that you give us in your word. Father, guide us through the rest of this day, O Lord, to make the most out of it, O God. Thank you for it. May we live for you and fellowship with you, and Lord, by your standards, may we glorify you and enjoy fellowship with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope for however much of this day you have left, it'll be a great day. Hope that you walk with the Lord, experience Him, and I hope that you make the most of it.